welcome to the Admit One podcast. This is a special episode where I'm going to discuss a multi-year vision behind a revolutionary new brand launch. Introducing 90cc, my new crypto-native luxury fashion and lifestyle brand, innovating on what fashion means in the Web 2 and Web 3 spaces. This launch will set in motion a long-term plan to become the industry leader in the future of fashion. I'm excited to share this with you all today. I want to start off by giving a high-level overview on the meaning behind the name, the vision, and the purpose of why now. So as I thought long and hard about what I wanted to name it, I wanted to make sure that it was something very crypto native and spoke back to the roots, but then also something that was inviting to those that weren't necessarily crypto native and could maybe be crypto curious or just interested in the space. And so the 90cc is actually the last four digits of the wallet that's the source of truth. Your Ethereum wallet address is a bunch of strings, both is a long string of characters of both numbers and letters. And I know that whenever I transact and people ask me for my wallet address, I'll always copy and paste it. And personally, whenever I look to make sure that I copy and pasted everything, I look at the last four digits of the wallet that I'm sending them. And so when I look at my wallets, I always know the last four digits of each wallet. And that's how I personally identify my different wallets. So as I came up with the name, I decided that, 90cc would be super crypto native. It would still be inviting to people that weren't necessarily in the know and possibly make them curious and hopefully want them to go down the crypto rabbit hole. With regards to the vision, a lot of it has to do from the simple fact that I wanted to make something that I myself as a consumer wanted to see that I haven't seen yet, either playing to my aesthetic or playing into the gamification or the community building that I think can and will happen in the fashion space that personally it's not being done yet. Who better to do it than myself, where I'm crypto native, I understand the space, I understand the community building aspect, and I really want to really bring crypto tech into the real world, because I think to me that's like the next evolution of the space is how do we get blockchain tech involved in real world assets in everyday life, because that to me is really what will take crypto mainstream. And the purpose and as to why now is really because I feel like now is the perfect time. We're in the middle of a big pullback in a bear market. Now is the time to build. I don't think there'll be as much speculation with things out of the gate as we had seen in the previous bull market where people were just buying everything for flips. And I think that that's where like real community building can come from. And I think you can build a solid core and a solid group of people representative of the things that I like, the aesthetics that I like, the things that I want to be involved with. And that really is why I decided to launch the brand now. It's not something that I just woke up one day and decided to do it. I remember some of my earliest conversations in the space with some of the people that I was talking to as I first started getting into the NFT space was I did want to do something in fashion. I just thought, in November, October of 2020, I thought it was still a little too early to be focused on creating something that was purely digital fashion. And I decided to wait and I decided to see what I thought was the opportunity at the time. And, I think right now is the perfect time to launch because I think that people now understand what NFTs are. They at least have heard the term. And I think now it's, on us as a community to kind of expand what that means in general. And to me, I'm excited to focus on the fashion side of it. So that really is kind of like a brief overview, high level overview of my vision for 90cc and, kind of like the cool things that I have planned, I think are going to be fun and exciting. There's stuff that gets me fired up and things that like I want to see, and I'm hoping that others in the space want to see it as well. So to discuss further about the brand and some of the things I have planned, I've invited Clara Jun here with me today. Clara's a very close and dear friend who's the co-founder of Chapter 2, the communications agency that represents me and my brand. She's been working for over a decade to discover, develop, and represent so many young brands and talent in the fashion industry, like Rude, Pierre Moss, No Sesso, and countless others. Clara was the first person I thought of to have the conversation with about the passions and intentions that drive me and that have gone into the creation of 90cc. Someone who has made space for herself and the people around her in this industry by believing that you should work with people you love, champion products you really believe in, and put energy only into the things you really care about. Please give a warm welcome to Clara, and thank you for being here with me today.
Thank you so much for having me, G. I'm excited to catch up with you. I'm excited to talk about this new launch. I think there's a lot of ground for us to cover. But I would love to kick off with talking about the successful launch of Admit One. I know that made a lot of waves. We had a lot of people talking about it. And now you're following it up with the launch of 9DCC. So can you explain how these two projects are interconnected?
Yeah. So, you know, when I was thinking about how I was planning on, distributing product, at least initially, is, you know, I know that I would be making limited quantities of whatever it is that I make, and there'll be physical product. And so, you know, especially during the bull market, right? Like, you had a lot of gas wars, you had a lot of issues with botting, and, you know, that you had to figure out how to create a fair system where you can get good and solid distribution across your community, but then also, you know, like, have that essence of scarcity, right? And so that, to me, was the main reason why I launched Admit One. Is, you know, along with this, along with other things that I'm working on that I have that's coming in the pipeline, I really wanted to create something where I wouldn't have to go out there and figure out about botting and how to create fair distribution every single time that I wanted to do a drop. And so for that reason, I felt Admit One would be really great, right? Like, I wanted to do something that was a stealth launch. I wanted to have very fair and wide distribution. I didn't sell the NFT to start. And so that, to me, was one of those things. Is like, I have a collection of 1,000 NFTs with close to 900 unique wallet address holders, so that it's not like there's like one person that has like a huge percentage block of it. And so I know that by really focusing on that initial distribution of Admit One, I'm now able to kind of create that as almost like a mint pass and a way for access into the 90cc ecosystem, amongst other things that I'm working on in the future. But that, to me, was really how these two projects will be working together. Is that, you know, your Admit One pass, your Admit One token, is really your ticket into the 90cc ecosystem and, you know, to all the cool launches and stuff that I'm working on.
Cool. So I want to talk about that a little bit more, because fashion is an interesting and somewhat ironic business, because as progressive and creative as the output can be, it's still a really traditional business in terms of like the nuts and bolts of it. You know, we still follow a seasonal calendar. You know, I don't know if the retail model has shifted as much as, you know, we like to tell ourselves that it has. And I know that people are going to be curious about how someone like you, who comes into fashion with a futurist point of view, and you have some plans in the pipeline in terms of, you know, like you said, distribution and, you know, pushing some changes into fashion through a Web3 lens. Can you talk a little bit more about, you know, those different integrations? And, you know, do you kind of feel that dichotomy between, you know, the world that you're entering into, which, again, does have some very traditional and, you know, sometimes archaic ways of doing things, and then trying to apply, you know, your lens and your perspective and your background into the business that you're entering into?
Yeah, so I think that's a really good question. I think for me, I think it's a fun challenge to tackle, right? Because I come from a traditional finance background. Consumer discretionary was a sector that I covered pretty well, and I understood. And, you know, consumer trends and focusing on those types of things are things that I personally have always understood and been very aware of. So, you know, just because I'm coming at this from a crypto native angle doesn't necessarily mean I don't understand traditional businesses, right? Because they've been around for centuries, for decades and centuries. And so to me, it's like, as a consumer, I think when I look at it through one, that lens of the traditional of a traditional industry, but then also through the lens of a consumer and saying, okay, there are certain things that me as a consumer, I would like, right? And like, for instance, the lowest hanging fruit is verifiable scarcity, right? Like if I'm spending X amount of money on some product, whether it's a bag or a shirt or a pair of sneakers, like I personally would like to know, you know, is there 500 sneakers or 50,000 sneakers, right? Because that ultimately affects supply and demand long term. But I, you know, I would like to know exactly how many there are out there. And blockchain tech really provides that, you know, that to happen, right, at scale, with, you know, much less friction than it could have happened even 5 years ago and definitely 10 years ago. So to me, like, these are all cool things that I've seen. I've had these a vision of, right, that I want to see in the space. And I feel like I've had enough conversations with, let's say, major brands or, you know, major industries, incumbents in industries. And I know that they're going to move slower. And I know that the idea could be something maybe they like internally, but they have to do risk analysis and they have to figure out exactly, you know, is it the right step for the brand to take? And they're going to move slower. So my thought process behind it is like, you know what, like, I'm just going to go out and do it on my own because it's something that I personally would love to see as an end user and a consumer. And I'm sure that there are a lot of other people that are in the same boat.
And I guess on that note of like you deciding to really go off and try this on your own, I mean, I think that is something notable to talk about because there is no perfect formula for how to do this, right? I think, you know, you the same way a lot of entrepreneurs are, you're also workshopping, you're constantly evolving, you're constantly trying to find better ways of, you know, creating a product or refining the process. And, you know, obviously going back to Admit One, which you just launched, what are some of those takeaways or learning lessons from, you know, the Admit One drop that are now being brought into the launch of 9DCC?
I think the main takeaway that I've probably learned, and we realized this like very, very quickly and really early on, is how important the community is. And you just, you know, and just like any entrepreneur, and, you know, I think I've been an entrepreneur since I was a teenager. I always, you know, wanted to be my own boss. I always wanted to work on things that I thought were interesting and do cool stuff. But I do think that you have to be able to be very flexible and nimble, and, you know, pivot when you see fit, you know. And I think one of the interesting things with Admit One was I, you know, the community was really energized and there were a couple people that took big initiatives about getting us onto allow list for other projects. And this was something I hadn't even planned on initially because I have my vision of what I'm working on for Admit One. But I saw that there were a lot of people within the Admit One community that were going out there being really proactive about getting the community into allow list or getting spots for other projects. And, you know, when we spoke about it internally, we're like, okay, how can we empower these members of the community to go out there and also provide value for the community and do something that isn't necessarily totally sanctioned by like my team in the sense that like we don't have the time or the manpower to go out there and vet every project. But if, you know, community members do their own research and they want to get access to these projects, there's that opportunity for them to do it. And so this was something that I hadn't thought about when I initially launched it. And it's been really cool to kind of see it grow and be very fruitful, right? You know, we actually have, it's called the Watchers, right? The Admit One Watchers. And it's a group of, I don't remember exactly how many at the moment. I think it might be five or six. And to me, these people are out there providing value for the community. They're really incentivized. And that's something I wasn't necessarily planning on. And this is all on top of all the other things that I'm working on. So to me, the main takeaway and the lesson from that is, like, even though I have my vision and I know where I see this in a year, two, 3 years from now of where I would like to see it, knowing that, one, market conditions change, right? And you have to be, just like any entrepreneur, you have to be willing to adapt and figure out, you know, how you're going to overcome that obstacle and what the next move is from there.
Can you talk a little bit about how, you know, 9DCC specifically, how that really fits into the overall G Money brand and the existing community? Like, what, I guess, what part this new brand is going to play in what you've already built?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that I've been very passionate about. I've been working on it for a while now. And I think as I've been having these conversations with, you know, incumbents and people from the Web2 space, and one of the things is, a lot of times people reach out to me is like, oh, I'd love to find a way to work together. I'm like, for sure. Like, you know, I'd love to have that conversation and figure it out. But I feel like up until this point, I haven't necessarily had a language for them to really, or a framework for them to be like, hey, like, let's work on this together, right? Like, I've always wanted to do cool things and work on cool projects that I find interesting. But I think now, with the launch of the brand and having a way to do something collaborative together, it allows us to become more creative right out of the gate, of people knowing more of, one, the things that I'm interested in on a much more formal scale. And then two is being able to come to the table with something and get some sort of action plan much faster, as opposed to trying to brainstorm necessarily on something cool that might be a little longer lead time or what have you to execute on. So to me, it's something that I'm excited about. And I think that even, you know, before, from the few conversations that I've had from before launch, it just has me really excited about the possibilities of collaboration and doing amazing things in the future.
I mean, you know, nobody comes into fashion thinking that they're going to make a ton of money. It's, you know, it's like Cardi B said, it's 2022. There's a lot of ways to get rich. And trust me, there are easier ways to try and get rich and to put in the work and put in the years in this industry. It is a tough business. But we come into it because we really love it. And I want to know, what are some of the things that made you love fashion and gravitate towards this industry so much that you decided to, you know, become an active participant in it and start your own label?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that fashion is very personal, right? Like, so I think no matter whether you're, you know, very fashion forward or not, right? Like, it's a very personal look, right? Like, it's, you know, sometimes when you go shopping, you're like, oh, that's this person, you know, this person would look good in that. That's what that person would wear and whatnot. And so to me, it's something, you know, just like everybody else, my personal fashion sense has evolved over style, over time. And again, like, I think as a consumer, you know, one of the things that I have liked a lot is, one, being able to personalize things to my own look. But then two is, you know, and I think this kind of plays into the NFT aspect of, you know, the verifiable scarcity, right? And this even goes back to, like, you know, let's say the PFP mania from 2021 and early 2022 is, you know, you it's a verifiable status symbol, right? Whereas, you know, when you see a somebody wearing a certain designer or let's say a certain piece of jewelry, that what does this say about that person? What does this mean about them? And that's the way humans interact with regards to displaying status and putting themselves in some sort of social hierarchy. And to me, I think what cooler and better way to utilize crypto tech in the real world is than to be doing something like this, right? So as a consumer, this is something I think would be cool and I think would be fun to mess around with, and being able to collaborate with some of the best designers and creatives in the world, and, you know, use my platform kind of as a way to, you know, not only provide a spotlight to creators that I like and love, but then also to collaborate with other major creators and brands in the real world and do cool stuff there. So it's something that, you know, I can't say exactly, you know, where it came from. I know that when I was young, I remember I used to make logo designs in high school. But I guess to your point, when I was younger, I decided to focus on finance because to me, I was always interested in the stock market. And I felt like fashion, I guess for me, kind of took a little bit of a back seat. But now as I guess my creative juices have started expanding a little bit more over the last few years with, you know, my participation in the NFT market, it's been really fun and exciting. And to me, it's stuff that I guess has laid dormant for me for a few years now. And it's been exciting to kind of reignite it and get it started mm-hmm. over again.
I love that. And I think that's really relatable. I think people in this industry, you know, who really love fashion, we can definitely connect with that feeling of like nostalgia almost of like when, you know, fashion really did kind of light something up in you or gave you a fresh new outlet for self-expression or made you feel seen. And, you know, this is a really diverse industry. And I think, you know, it's been said a lot of the people in the fashion industry weren't the cool kids like in high school. And fashion really was kind of the first time that we had something that, you know, made us really feel free and in the ways that we, you know, were able to be creative or the ways that we were able to really, you know, have something tangible that made us feel valued. So I think that you kind of remembering something that you know, that has laid dormant for this many years, I think that's definitely something that is pretty transcendent, I guess, in the industry and something that a lot of people can connect with. But I think that note's really important, what you said about this being really personal and this being a really, this being an industry and a type of work that is really connected to who you are and, you know, the where you come from and the stories that drive you. And, you know, life informs art, right? And you've really been living these days. And I really believe that the best creative directors and designers out there are the ones who can best translate the lives that they're living, like their own lifestyles, into the work that they're creating and their vision that they're sharing. So tell me a little bit about how life right now is shaping the way that you're thinking about fashion and the product you're making, you know, whether it's places you're traveling to or people you're meeting or something you're reading. Just, you know, what is it about life right now and the lifestyle that you've really been building that you're sharing with the larger audience through 9DCC?
Yeah, so I'd say over the last year and a half, or so, a little longer, if you had told me I'd be having some of the conversations that I'm having right now, I would have called you crazy. I mean, even a year ago, I think it was this week or next week, 1 year ago was the first time I walked into Adidas headquarters. And at that point, after having those conversations, I was like, wow, this is real. And you know, my thesis that I had been developing was like, you know, this is going to be massive. And I think now, because knowing the creatives that I've had conversations with, you know, having access to some of the best creative talent and designers in the world, and being able to have these conversations with some of the highest levels of companies throughout the world, to me, it's like, you know, I want to do something that I find interesting and creative. With my travels and meeting new and interesting people, you know, right now I'm in Southern Europe, and I've been hanging out with an artist that I met like 7-8 months ago at a panel at a conference back in September. And, you know, just being able to kind of talk to him about his artistic process and the things that he's working on, and then thinking of ways that we can collaborate together on something cool, that, you know, where his artwork would really shine and his vision of what he sees and how he wants to leave his imprint on the world, and me being able to help him do that, and, you know, utilize crypto tech while doing it. Like, to me, it's a beautiful thing. And that's what really gets me excited is, you know, being able to do something that you know, some of the things will be just my vision, but a lot of the things, like, you know, I'm a really collaborative person of, you know, I want to work with artists, you know, both from, you know, the Web 2 space and the Web 3 space, and, you know, do something that's really cool and hopefully make cool things that people want and people will cherish. And, you know, hopefully the things are really innovative as well. So to me, it's a learning process. I think, you know, right to the previous question that you just had was, it's been fun because I feel like I've been like reopening my, the imaginative and creative side of my brain. And it's been fun. And it's been, a lot of learning along the way. And, but it's been stuff that, you know, the conversations that I've been having, with regards to even like the technical stuff of the stuff that I'm building and making, to me, it's been really fun. I couldn't ask for anything more.
So I guess on that note of learning lessons, you know, entering the fashion industry and creating product in this space, what surprised you about starting a fashion line? Like, what, I guess, were some of the expectations that you had? And, you know, what are some of the challenges or just, you know, learning lessons or experiences that really caught you by surprise, you know, during this process of launching 9DCC and the first upcoming product?
You know, I'd say right now, it's not necessarily things that have surprised me. Because again, I think coming from a finance background, I think I understand, like, you know, cost of goods sold, and I understand P&L and stuff like that. To me, not that it's been surprising, but it's been a learning process, and it's been a fun one, is, you know, going and really focusing on like the details that maybe as a general consumer, you don't understand or pay that much attention to. For instance, like the stitching, the color of the stitching, the length of the cuffs, you know, the fit and like the material. And, you know, I think the material is probably like an easy long hanging fruit that everybody understands. But when it comes to, what tags you want to put and where, and what you want to put on the tags, and this, like, to me, the piping, all these amazing, cool things that it's like, oh, like, you know, here I am designing something that I want to make perfectly tailor made for me. And I think that's it. I literally, that was a quote from Jay-Z where he was, you know, he said something that, you know, his life is tailor made for him. Right. And he's living it exactly the way he wants it. And it just so happens that a lot of people like his vision and, you know, they want to be a part of it as well. And so to me, it, you know, I'm making things that I like, that I'm excited to wear, that I'm excited to flex and to show off. And I think other people might too, right? And again, like just the same way you have a lot of different designers in the real world, this isn't a zero, a winner take all type of experience, right? You know, like there's different aesthetics for different people, and that's going to happen in Web 3 just the same way it happens in Web 2. So to me, it's been, I wouldn't say there have been any surprises. It's been a learning process, but I knew that going in because I know that, you know, not having a background, or an, let's say a official background in creative, means that I'm going to have a lot of things that I need to focus on and work on. But I've been lucky enough to be working with some of the best designers in the world, to work and do some really cool things.
And, you know, I really love what you just said about, you know, this isn't a winner take all situation. I actually don't think this industry is really built that way either. If you shift your perspective, I think it is really important to really like know that there's space for all of us here. And I think the only way to really embrace innovation and just create new, I guess, like platforms and expressions of creativity and fashion is to welcome more people in, which is why, you know, I really did want you to have that opportunity to share learning lessons coming into this space, you know, from your point of view and from your background, because I do hope that more creatives come into this space. I do hope more people from Web3 come into fashion and, you know, everybody really works really collaboratively together to, you know, create an incredible product, think outside the box and, you know, continuously just evolve what we're making. Cause I think that's what's going to lead to this industry really, you know, shifting in a much more accelerated pace than I think we've seen in the past. But on that note, you know, going back, I guess, to an earlier question, which is like, you know, you are entering a pretty traditional business. You know, we still have brands that work with ateliers that have been around for, you know, hundreds of years. You have brands that, you know, still operate very closely to manufacturing and house codes that have been intact for decades and decades, and, you know, creative director after creative director. You know, you're coming into it with, again, like the point of view that you have. And I do want to know, you know, what type of utility or gamification can people kind of expect from this product? You know, how are you integrating hardware and software components into the first product launch? And can you talk a little bit more about the technology that you're really introducing into, you know, the fashion that you're creating?
So I think that's really interesting. There will be an NFC chip that is linked to every physical product, and that NFC chip will be linked to an NFT. So there's a couple interesting things. You know, one of the company that's actually been linking the NFC chip to the NFT is a company called IYK, and you know, it's a company that I invested in at the beginning of this year. And the reason why I was so interested in them is that they utilize pull tech, right? And so what I mean by that is, up until this point, most of NFT linking to physical product that I've seen has been where if, let's say, I were to give you the shirt off my back that is linked to an NFT, and you give me cash, I would then be required to go home and I would need to send you the NFT to your wallet. So, you know, after you give me the money for the product, you're not really incentivized to send the NFT to me. And that's why I feel like up until now, you've seen a lot of breaking of the linkage between physical and digital, right? Where when you initially buy it for the primary sale, right, you get both of them linked together. But then the second you want to sell one, you either sell the physical without the NFT, or you sell the NFT without the physical. And so because of that, you know, you lose that provenance, right? And so maybe some people want the digital, maybe some people want the physical. But me personally, I would like to see them linked together because it acts as a proof of authenticity and they should travel together, right? You know, because that is basically your certificate. And we see the value of that. And, you know, with art, with jewelry, anything, you know, watches, anything that is a very expensive product where the manufacturer, the creative or the artist will link it to some sort of certificate that is hard to copy. And that acts as the proof of authenticity. And so to me, what was really interesting about the technology that IYK did was that, you know, it is now pull technology. So in the previous instance that I just told you, it was push, right? But in pull technology is whoever has physical possession of that product can then pull the NFT into their wallet. So that the second I give you the product and you give me the money in a physical transaction, you can walk away with that product and pull it into your wallet whenever you want. So that to me personally, I think that scales, right? Because you now have a one-step transaction where, you know, commerce can happen on a secondary sale and it's not prohibitive where you're breaking the physical and digital link. So to me, like, I think that's really cool. That's something I want to see as a consumer. And I think a lot of other people do as well. So to me, like, right out of the gate, I think that's amazing, right? And you get that provenance, you know that you're buying a physical product that is real, and it's easily verifiable if somebody wants to scan it, if maybe they don't believe that it's real or whatever. And so you have a proof of authenticity right then and there. So that's one. But more importantly, because I think that the idea of linking, whether it's an RFID chip or an NFC chip, to a physical product isn't novel in and of itself. What I think I can do uniquely because of the way I've been interacting in the space and the way, you know, I've been eating, living, and breathing crypto for the last 2+ years is I understand community building in the digital space, and I think that I can do some really cool and innovative concepts bringing crypto into the real world. And I'll use an example of something I did a little over a year ago, which was at Bitcoin Miami. I decided to do a 3-day PoAP event. A few days before Bitcoin Miami, I was like, you know what? I'd love to have some sort of let's call it a pop-up for lack of a better word. But what I did was I hired a couple models to kind of stand at different locations. And I tweeted out maybe an hour in advance. You know, it was within like two or three blocks of the actual Bitcoin Miami conference of if you went there to this location between, you know, the hours of 3 and 5 and you saw the person that was wearing the G-Money ape, they would give you a POAP, which stands for proof of attendance, and a $5 gift certificate to the venue that they were standing at. So let's say one day it was at Panther Coffee. It was a $5 gift certificate for a coffee. And also you got a POAP. It was a 3-day, because it was Miami themed, it was a 3-day event. The first day was, I believe it was Scarface. The second day was Miami Vice. And the third day was Pitbull, all like Miami themed POAPs. And that was what the artwork was. And I think a couple things happened, a couple cool takeaways, right? Because when I went into it, I said to myself, okay, when brands come into the space, they can't fail. So they're going to have to kind of take some sort of mental a roadmap that has been working for somebody in the space that has the opportunity to fail and learn from that and come back and iterate and do a better job. So the two main takeaways I took from that was one, from that event, there was about 30 people that collected POAPs every single day. Of those 30 people, there were 11, it was either 11 or 12 that actually went and collected those POAPs every single day. So they collected all three of them. While those people collected those POAPs, one of those days, there was two guys that met each other that hadn't known each other before then. They ended up founding a hedge fund together, and they were very integral in the beginning of a DAO that I ended up joining separately from that, but I'm also a member of. And so that to me was like, wow, the power of community of like these two people, the only thing that they had in common up until that point was that they both followed me. They read that tweet and they went to go get a POAP, then become business partners and, you know, have become very active in the NFT space since then. So that was one. That was like, wow, like the power of that, because I didn't expect that. I just wanted to do something cool and fun. And then two was the fact that like one, people told me that it was probably the most fun they did that week at Bitcoin Miami, because it was bringing crypto into the real world with this, you know, pop-up scavenger hunt that was really low lift, right? Like it literally was just walking a half a block out of your way. But to me, that tells me that people wanted this, right? People want this. And, you know, I think it's been, you've seen it now since then with like all the live events that a lot of the NFT communities are doing. You know, interestingly enough, last year for NFT NYC, POAP did, they expanded on what I did with, you know, with my initial 3-day event with a scavenger hunt around NFT NYC to collect POAPs at different locations throughout the city. And, you know, to me, it's just, you know, when you come up with something creative like that, people will iterate on it and they'll make it better and they'll do cooler things and the space grows naturally because of it. So I think that I can take a lot of the mechanics that I've seen that work in the digital world and bring it out to the physical world in a really cool and fun way. And I have a lot of ideas for gamifying it and the things that I want to be doing that will make it not just like cool to own the product, but fun to own the product. And I think that that's where I have a sort of structural advantage, because I understand this very innately because I live it.
I apologize if this feels repetitive, but I do think you touched on a lot of really like revolutionary concepts. And I think, again, the perspective that you're bringing into the fashion space is really important. But again, I think it's really going to challenge a lot of people to really look at the industry a little bit differently, including a lot of gaps that we have or problems that we have in the industry. But do you have any, you know, specific gaps in the fashion space that you're looking to fill, or, you know, I guess like more granular ways that you're looking to advance the industry just through, you know, these different concepts that you're experimenting with, tweaking with, making better, and now applying to this brand?
I'd say that there's a couple high-level ideas that I've been thinking about a lot. So one is the proof of provenance and the proof of scarcity, which we've discussed a bit already. Two is the community building aspect of it and the gamification of things. And three, which we haven't spoken about yet, is really kind of like creating for the secondary market, right? And understanding that, especially when you're dealing with expensive products, there is a secondary market that exists. It's a multi, billion dollar industry already, and it's probably will only be growing from here. And so to me, I think that that's really interesting as well, right? And that goes hand in hand with, the proof of provenance and scarcity. But I think when you're building something for the secondary market, there's probably certain things that you need to take into account that, it's not just, oh, like, let's produce as much product as possible, right? And then also, it's like, what does that mean if you have a secondary market where, there's a linkage to a platform where you can trade them on, and all of a sudden, you as a creator can collect secondary royalties of secondaries from a physical product, right? And that doesn't exist today, right? And so, how does that change the P&L of, a brand, whether it's fashion or anything? Anybody that makes anything that's physical, where there is a large secondary market, and what does that mean for changing the dynamic of how they operate, and then how they build and create new stuff for their consumers? So like those to me are like really like high level things that I'm thinking about is one, because I would personally like to see it. And two is like I just think that it's fun and innovative and cool. And I think it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when it happens.
So I want to kind of bring it back a little bit more into, fashion and some of the creative references and inspirations that have kind of driven this before we jump into a little bit more, specifically about the first launch. But, I am somebody who grew up reading whatever runway reviews and fashion stories I could find. I was that girl on style.com or reading the New York Times runway reviews whenever I could find it. And, I just gorged myself in fashion history because I was obsessed with it. And it's been really fun watching you go through that journey as we've been working on 90cc together. And so for me, there are specific shows and collections and designers that, really made me think like, oh wow, I can never see things the same way again. Like, this collection or this designer really shifted my perspective on a pretty fundamental level. Just in terms of how life can be lived, what things can look like, what I'm free to wear, what, I guess just opened my eyes to so many different inspiration points around the world that, I, as somebody living and growing up in the suburbs, like didn't really have a lot of exposure to. So, what are some moments, or collections in fashion history, just through your research that you've discovered, like what are some moments that have done that for you, just purely from a fashion sense?
Yeah, so it's funny because when I first got into the NFT space, I really, really digested a lot of information on the contemporary art market, because especially at the time, the contemporary art market was probably the most similar market in the world to what NFTs were at that moment. And I wanted to understand the history of it, how, the inner workings of it, and how, who were the main players, right? And so I very much immersed myself. I won't say an expert, because I think that there's a lot more time that goes into an expert, and you're always learning even when you are. But I really spent a lot of time focused on that. And over the last 6 to 12 months, I've been really focused on fashion and fashion history and understanding the players, understanding the people that have built amazing brands that are iconic, and people that have built it 50, 100 plus years ago, but then also people that have built them in the last 10 plus years or even less. And and amazing stuff has been done, and especially with, I think, the rise of technology, that cycle starts happening faster and faster with each iteration. And it's amazing to see how up-and-comers can come out of nowhere and then be so relevant on a global scale pretty quickly, because the design, the process, the message resonates with consumers around the world. And, you know, it's been so interesting and very humbling, and always gives me that feeling of a little bit of nervousness, because sometimes maybe I feel like I might be a little bit over my skis here. But like, it's amazing just seeing all these people from such diverse backgrounds come and be successful in their own way. And there's no right way to do it. There's no, you know, no formulaic process that, oh, you can only be successful if you do these things. And so to me, like when I look at probably the thing that stuck out to me the most was probably the Margiela show in 1989, where it was done in Paris, in a section of Paris that it was in a playground. And the children, because they had to rent out that space, the children in that neighborhood wouldn't be allowed to play in that playground for the show. And so what they did was they asked the children to make the invitations that they'd sent out to the fashion industry to attend. But then also they invited the children to the show. And, you know, that, especially at the time, that was something that like was unheard of, that wasn't, you know, happening, right? Because at that point it was very much a gate kept exposition, exhibition. And it was something that would only be for the industry. And so to me, like, that was like, you know, that's exactly what you talk about when you talk about community and involving the community. Like, there's nothing more organic than that, where, you know, you see pictures and videos from that show, and like the kids are there. The kids, I think I saw a picture of a kid on one of the model's shoulders as they were walking down the runway. And it's like, that's kind of what it's about, right? Like, just human connection and bringing people together, and not necessarily excluding, but more so combining people together and bringing a lot of different aspects and perspectives on life. And that to me is like incredible. So that show stuck out specifically to me of like, all right, like, cause I do think that like the beautiful thing of, and you see this so much in the NFT space, but it exists in every industry and in every community, where it's really the community of, you know, collectors, consumers, stakeholders, whatever you want to call them, that will make that brand and or product or whatever it is, right, viable. And so I think from everything I saw, that there was nobody that did it on such an amazing scale and so early on, right? Like, this was, you were talking about 30 years ago at this point, that, you know, was able to do it and be amazing. So that to me was something that I've like kind of used a little bit as my North Star with regards to, you know, doing something cool that doesn't necessarily have to be the status quo and be conforming exactly to what the industry says needs to happen, but more so being something truly organic to crypto and building a native community around it.
I love that. So I think getting into some fun stuff. So now that we understand, you know, your vision for the brand, and we've really gotten pretty deep into a lot of the inspirations, references, you know, the development process, what can you share about the details around the first product launch? You know, what can people expect? When is it happening? Where can people learn more? What can you give us?
Yeah. So, you know, the first product launch, it's going to be a t-shirt that I've been working on. And again, to like that, talking about like the learning process is, I knew I would be learning a lot going through this, but just the attention to detail, and like, it's been fun. It's been so much fun working with the design team and, you know, looking at the aesthetics, and really, like, you know, I've been walking into so many stores and looking at so many things, and like hemlines and hems and stitching and a lot of things that I hadn't necessarily really looked at before, and creating something to the aesthetic that I want. So, you know, for the first launch, we're going with something that I love, like you know, I'm actually wearing the shirt right now, and I've been wearing it for the last couple months, of, you know, something that I feel comfortable in, that I walk around in, I feel good in it. I know it looks good on me. Just something that's been fun. And so we're starting with something simple, just a t-shirt, a black t-shirt. The design, we won't be releasing that probably for another few weeks, but the launch itself will probably be at some point in August, pending the supply chain. But it's been something that's been really exciting, and, you know, kind of using that as the first stepping stone and building off of that. And, you know, working with a lot of creatives in the space and outside of the space, and really excited to launch some really cool stuff.
I know we're trying to keep a lot of details still a little bit under lock and key until we're ready to go, but where can people specifically kind of tune in to get updates and kind of see this roll out?
So 9dcc.xyz is the website, the domain for 9dcc. Also my Twitter is definitely probably one of, you know, I'll be retweeting all the most pertinent things from the account and with regards to the launch and everything that we're building. And the socials, I believe, are 9dccxyz on Twitter and Instagram.
And I'm going to keep going because I just have a couple more questions before we wrap up. But give me like the big picture vision, like the broad stroke hopes for what 9dcc will become. And then can you just kind of tell me how this first launch kicks it off and feeds into the future of, you know, your overall ambition for this brand?
So I think like, you know, this I think speaks directly to one of the points I had in my manifesto about doing cool shit with cool people. And I think that this is one of the cool things that I want to do. And I know that it allows me to have a platform and a language to work with other cool people and doing cool stuff with them. So like when I take a look at, you know, the impact I want the brand to have, you know, a few years from now, is one, I want to be doing cool and innovative things, which I personally think, already right out of the gate with the plans I have, I think there will be some really cool things coming. But then also I want to be able to interact with creatives and give, you know, artists in the space that maybe don't have the exact platform that maybe I have, and give them a place to shine and uplift them and give them some cool things to work on together, collaborating. But then also kind of help with mainstream adoption and working with large brands that already have distribution and already have a following, that are looking to get into crypto in, you know, the right way, as opposed to maybe some misguided direction that might not be entirely crypto native. So to me, like, I think the brand can act as like an amazing tool to kind of bring these two worlds together, and then also bring like my creative vision to life of things that I just want to see exist in the world.
Yeah, I love that note about, you know, this really being a platform for you to be really collaborative with people. And I know we've spoken a lot about you collaborating, you know, with different designers and incredible people in the industry. But, you know, I want to talk a little bit about how you collaborate, you know, just with like a larger audience, with just people who follow you. Like, what are the ways that anybody who's listening to this podcast or that follows you on social media or anything, what are some ways that, you know, they're able to engage with you directly about the brand? You know, do you read comments? Like, do you, you know, how do you kind of see yourself, or how do you already like engage and interact with, you know, the larger general audience that really follows you and will be watching this launch really closely?
Yeah, so like I engage with the audience a lot through Twitter, right? We now have a Discord, and in one Discord, we're going to be opening up a channel for 9dcc to talk things 9dcc, where, you know, the way I see it is, let's say if Twitter is, let's say, the town square, right, where a lot of announcements are made, then Discord is maybe like the neighborhood, right? Where people are more intimate, people know each other, right? Like there's more relationships that are being built because it's more where the community interacts with each other. So I think that there's different levels of that engagement. You know, obviously when I tweet something, I'm obviously reading comments and replying to them as I see fit. But I think to have that more, intimate level of conversation, it happens in the Discord, right? And we already see it happening within Mint One. And I think the cool thing about 9DCC and like the really cool experiment that's going to be happening is, you know, how the community gets built around this brand, which, you know, like Mint One has a very high price point already. And, you know, what is that look like, you know, when you have a lower price point to enter, let's say, you know, the 90cc community to become part of it and be there from the beginning and be part of something that's special.
As you've been, you know, prepping for this launch in the fashion space and launching your own fashion brand, what is a really great piece of advice that somebody's given you that's really helped you through this process?
I would say,
I feel like I get this question a lot. That's why I ask. I feel like people constantly ask me, you know, what's great advice? I was curious about you.
I mean, I don't think I've gotten a piece of specific advice specifically on this. I think being an entrepreneur for the last 20 plus years, advice that I've gotten that I've taken from a lot of people, successful people, is one, always be open to learning. You know, you don't, no matter how much you know, you can always learn more, and you can learn it from anybody, whether, you know, the person is, you know, half your age or twice your age, it doesn't necessarily matter. So that wisdom can come from anywhere. I remember a conversation I had early last year, with someone who literally was old enough to be my son, gave me some of the best piece of advice I had, about, you know, deciding which way I wanted to go with my career at that point, because I wasn't done trading at that point, my finance career. And it, like, I was like, wow, like if I had just dismissed him just because he was younger, I would have never been open to receiving that feedback, right? So that's one. And then two, and I say this because I've learned it and I've heard it so much from really, really successful people, is just having that attitude of gratitude and just coming from a grateful place. And, you know, life has its ups and downs. There's going to be high points, there's going to be low points. But if you have that attitude where you're thankful for the opportunities that you have, you're thankful for the success, and more importantly, you're thankful for the failures so that you can learn from them, I think that is really, that kind of mindset really helps set you up for success. And that's something that, you know, it's the reason why I write my Sunday gratitude tweets, is to practice that. I personally do it on a personal level every day for myself, but I wanted to kind of get that out there to the community a little more. But those are like probably my two main things with regards to starting this endeavor. And, you know, it makes me excited to kind of work on everything from here.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I think that really ties back to maybe what was like my best piece of advice, which is, you know, invest in what gives you endurance, not necessarily perfection. And, you know, for you, that gratitude keeps you going. It's like a daily reminder of why you're doing this. And it really just feeds into, you know, you feeling inspired to keep this going, keep it evolving, you know, keep pushing on the best days and the worst days. And, you know, I think if there is one secret to success in this industry, or really, I guess, any industry, it's you got to outrun everyone. You got to stay in the game. It really is about endurance and just keeping it going, you know, through the high and low points. And I definitely think those are really important things to keep in mind, you know, for you as you enter, you know, a new era of what you're creating, as well as for, you know, anybody else who might be listening to this and kind of thinking about going down a similar path. So my last question is really just kind of wrapping things up. If you have any, you know, final thoughts that you want to share on what's exciting you most about this launch, or if there's any other details that you want to share about 9DCC.
I'm really excited for it. I've been working on it for a long time. I, you know, have been really closed-lipped about it up until this point. I'm excited to show the world what I've been working on, and I'm hoping that everybody gets as excited about it as I am.
Well, this was fun. This was definitely a highlight of my week. I've loved having this time to catch up with you. I feel like we actually need to do this more.
Okay, awesome.
Amazing. Thank you. Bye.
All right, thanks.
Awesome. All right, thank you, guys.